Unstoppable Sound Agency. Welcome to this edition of Move to Amend Reports, where we connect you with activists and organizers working on the front lines of the democracy movement to bring you the lowdown on corporate rule, corporate personhood, and money as speech. This is a space to find info you need to help pass the We the People Amendment and legalize democracy. I'm Egberto Willis, and
I'm Laura Bonham. As culture exists as a dynamic process creating and reflecting human consciousness, and the arts are an expression of that collective consciousness, art and culture are an integral part of movement building work. While we live in a nation built upon many cultures, the dominant culture is generally reflected by the ruling class. And when that ruling class happens to be a corporate oligarchy dominated by wealthy white men, the dominant culture becomes a vehicle of indoctrination and control, appropriating the artistic and cultural works of we the people for the purpose of profit. This is why Move to Amend believes any movement to effect long-lasting social change in the United States, including amending our Constitution, must also work to change the dominant culture. Today, we'll examine the crucial role artists and cultural workers play in creating that social change and revolution as we discuss the collaborative art and activism project known as Global Corpocracy and Move to Amend's participation in this project through the Art and Culture Caucus. Joining us in this conversation is artist and lead coordinator for Global Corpocracy, Christian Sarker. Christian's artistic pursuits began in the 1980s at the University of Houston, where he accidentally took both a lithography and an etching class with Melinda Beeman, which led him to become a member of the Art Tribe, a group of underground artists, and the Art for Justice Collective. Christian's work is best described as abstract activism, an extension of his interest in social justice, sustainability, inclusivity, as well as revolutionary music history and literature. Joining Christian is Move to Amend National Board member Ruthie Engelke, a writer, actress, teacher, yoga practitioner, grammar guru, gardener, mother, friend, and all-around good sport from Texas. Ruthie serves on the board of directors of Pedagogy and Theater of the Oppressed, a group which supports people whose work challenges oppressive systems by promoting critical thinking and social justice through liberatory theater and popular education. In conjunction with this work, Ruthie facilitates movement building workshops for Move to Amend using Theater of the Oppressed techniques, and she's the co-chair of Move to Amend's Art and Culture Caucus, looking for ways to harness the power of art and artists to advance the goals of and uphold the principles of Move to Amend. Welcome to the show, Ruthie and Christian.
Thanks so much.
Pleasure to be on the show today. We appreciate your having us. Christian and I have been working together on this art project, and it's been quite a road we're traveling, right, Christian?
It sure has. And I could say that this show actually has its roots at the Station Museum, where they had an installation called Corpocracy. And quite by chance, I saw it on the internet, went over there and saw the artists, met the artists, some of them that were involved. And from there, it just grew into this thing where we decided we need to take this show on the road. It needs to sort of become part of the movement. And, you know, art should be used to convince people, to show people that there are other ways to live. There are other ways to sort of think. And that we don't have to, just buy into the mainstream narrative.
Now, how would you say that art really changes? Let me just put it sort of in a larger context. How does it change a body politic?
Well, you know, art and culture are sort of synonymous. I mean, if you ask, what is your culture? You know, there's always a mainstream narrative, and in this country especially, you know, we've got this sort of false idea that money is actually wealth, and that maximizing financial returns to the holders of financial assets will maximize the well-being of all. So these things are just false promises that have created this narrative in our culture that basically leads to the corporate domination of everything. And artists, at least the artists that haven't been financialized or turned into Wall Street instruments, many of them are, you know, sort of have their eyes open and like canaries in a coal mine are actually blowing the whistle on sort of the problems that we have with our dominant culture. And I think, you know, when your media is owned by this dominant culture, when everything you see, everything you buy in the store is part of that narrative, then it's very hard to break through. But artists, you know, I think by virtue of what they do, don't necessarily buy into this, you know, the mainstream narrative. And so then they go against it. In fact, they revolt against it. And I think that's been sort of the history of, for me, you can't be an artist and not revolt against what's going on. You know, it's almost as if otherwise you're just being a decorative artist. You know, you're not really an artist, because I think the role of an artist is at least to challenge sort of the status quo and help us see things differently. And in this case, there's a moral voice that's involved, because, you know, we see the destruction of the planet. And, you know, being quiet is not an option, right?
Now, what are your thoughts, Ruthie?
Because art has been commodified, it leads to a narrow assignment of who is an artist, who has the opportunity to be an artist, and or, you know, and linking that into who can make money as an artist. And so we often we then discourage a lot of young people, especially, from going into art. I, as an educator, one of the things that breaks my heart the most about education in the gazillions of things that break my heart these days is that we're taking the arts out of schools, and children are not being able to make art. And I think that being able to create art and be part of it is so important to our development of our imagination. And if we are able to imagine, then we are able to imagine a new world. And so when that's taken away from us, we lose that ability as a people to see ourselves as artists. And I also wanted to circle back to what Christian said about empathy, because that's the most important thing. Art moves us. It's emotional. It speaks to us on a level that's just below even sometimes our consciousness. It acts on our hearts. Pablo Picasso said that an artist is also a political being, constantly aware of the heartbreaking, passionate, or delightful things that happen in the world, shaping himself completely in their image. How could it be possible to feel no interest in other people and with a cool indifference to detach yourself from the very life which they bring to you so abundantly? No, painting is not done to decorate apartments. It is an instrument of war. And I think for me, what this says to me is that the artist makes us feel, and as we create art, we learn to feel ourselves, and we learn to have empathy and put ourselves in others' shoes and to be able to see the world around us. And in such a distinct way that is not cut and dried and cleared and hammered down our throats and told to us, which the corporate media does every single day. We have six companies that own and produce most of the media that comes out to us. And it's these underground artists that are making a difference and really showing us their passion and their commitment.
So I want to get back to the Global Corpocracy Art Project, and you gave us a little background on the project, Christian, but what exactly is it? How does it work? Does it grow and change with each stop you make?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's totally organic. This idea started with the Station Museum, where they had this original show. And now what we've done is taken a bunch of, I would say, global artists or well-known international artists, people like Clark Fox, Eugenio Marino, Ron English. Some of these are, you know, really big names in the art world, and taken them and then marry them to the sort of on the ground to the city that we're going to have the show in. So in Houston, for example, we got 21 local artists, not local, to, not, I'm sorry, 21 artists, of which I'd say about more than three-fourths of them were local artists and who also voiced their displeasure at this corporate oligarchy through their art. And so we had, for example, Daniel Angulo, one of our most famous Houstonian native Houstonian artists, I'd say, in terms of his work as native, let's put it this way. He's one of Houston's well-known street artists. And if you go anywhere in Houston and see the street art, you'll always see Daniel Angulo's work all over the place. So he created a huge banner that we hung over the side of the building where we were having our show at the University of Houston. And, you know, we did get told to bring the banner down because it was too political about a day and a half into the show. But the show was it on for a day.
Well, then your art achieved its goal, didn't it?
Absolutely. It just shows that we were doing something right. And by making us take it down, they made a statement that says we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do, which is to wake people up to the idea. And it was a beautiful piece of art. You know, I'd encourage our people, we're going to have a report on that show on www.globalcorpocracy.com. It's a little tricky to spell, corpocracy as against democracy. So that's really the story.
But I had a hard time with it before.
It is difficult to say. The website, globalcorpocracy.com, has... It's a curated collection of the original artists that were because when Houston's talking, when Christian is talking about the Houston show, there's actually two Houston shows, just to clear that up. The first one was called Corpocracy that he was talking about originally, that was at the Station Museum, and I believe all or most of the artists that participated in that show can be found on the website at www.globalcorpocracy.com. And you can actually go on there and look at this artwork. The second one that he's talking about is the one that we just did, that Christian put together at the Honors College at the University of Houston during the Green Party convention. And so we were able to do he had that show set up for 2 days at the Honor College. And then we had a workshop within the Green Party convention as well, where David Cobb spoke about what we could do and explained about the Constitution and how it was having corporations have corporate constitutional rights, how that has bastardized the entire document. But we actually, that's not our first breakout show. The first breakout show was in New York at Andy Warhol's gallery. And unfortunately, I was not able to attend that one. But Christian, could you tell us a little bit about the New York show?
Sure. The New York show happened because Clark Fox, who's one of the artists that's so involved in this, basically, and he was actually, a friend of Andy Warhol's, and which just makes this even more funny. But he went across the street. He lives in Manhattan. Went across the street to the old Andy Warhol's first gallery, where he exhibited his work for the first and second and third times, I believe. And talked to it's no longer the Boldly, which is what it was called, but he convinced the owner to turn it into a gallery back for one night. And so we basically opened up Andy Warhol's old gallery into and kind of had a one-night pop-up art show there. And I think the owner is so convinced that it was so great that he's going to basically rename it the Boldly and bring it back to life. I think that's what we heard. But we had about I think we had six artists there, or five artists. We had Art Fox, who's Mr. Peanut. So Clark Fox, I probably should say a few words about some of these artists. Clark Fox is a Native American whose work is in the Smithsonian, it's in the National Gallery, a lot of, you know, real serious collections of art. So he's not somebody who's just, you know, showed up recently on this bandwagon. He's been doing this for 20, 30 years. He's been creating this protest art. And so he basically drove the show in New York, helped us get the gallery. He's a very strong social activist in himself and in his work. And then we had Eugenio Merino from Spain, who's another socially conscious, very strong protest artist, if you will. He was part of the show. We had Michael D'Antuono, whose work is, he's called the Norman Rockwell of the Revolution. That's this little title that he has that was given to him by Ron English.
They always kind of get to me. I'm looking right now at the pig smoking the cigar. You know, those are quite stunning pictures.
Yeah, he really captures sort of in literal terms the moment of injustice, if you will. And so you see in his works, instead of these idyllic scenes or little country, you know, vignettes or you know, it's sort of Norman Rockwell with a twist, with a very powerful social message. So check him out. Check out Clark Fox. Then we had Stephanie Sajuko, who has Berkeley, who had this exhibit that's really a very sort of subversive work, and it's called Free Text. And Free Text is all about these little pages of text that hang up on the wall with and each one of them is the title of a book. And each one of these books can be, if you tear off the URL that they have at the bottom, they have these little tear-off things that you can tear off, go to the site and actually read the book for free. And so you arrange this collage of these books on the wall, and you basically get a resource and a community resource for people to read these books and discuss some of the ideas in them. And, of course, these ideas are never taught at regular universities, and they're never part of the mainstream conversation.
Now, what brought you to form and join in this underground artists group? What brought you in your art to where you are now?
Yeah, well, my art has always been a response to sort of the idea that, you know, you can't be an artist and be quiet and if you see what's going on in the world. So that's part of this. And I also run a site with a guy named Philip Kotler, who, if anybody in business knows who that is, he's sort of the father of modern marketing. So he's a capitalist, you know, who basically has built over the past 50 years the discipline of marketing. And he has written two books, one called Confronting Capitalism, the other one called Democracy in Decline, that outlines the problems that we have. So here we have one of the world's leading capitalists, if you will, finding real flaws with our system. And he spoke out, and so we have a site called Fix Capitalism that's another partner, along with Move to Amend and along with the Station Museum. And my job, in a way, was I was like, hey, we should bring all these guys together and do something to make a difference. And that's how David Cobb comes in with his Move to Amend, because artists, you know, can create a show, but then you go home and do nothing.
Right, right.
And what we wanted is, you know, at the show, we want you to learn about this and get engaged with something like Move to Amend that makes a difference and actually has a plan for changing this system we live in.
Well, folks, we'll continue this conversation after a quick public service announcement.
Does your elected representative support amending the U.S. Constitution to end corporate constitutional rights and get money out of politics? You can help us find out by joining Move to Amend's Pledge to Amend campaign. Help persuade local, state, and federal legislators to pledge support for our We the People Amendment. recruit co-sponsors for this amendment in the U.S. House and Senate. For more information, visit movetoamend.org/pledge-amend. That's movetoamend.org/pledge-amend.
You can support Move to Amend reports and other Move to Amend programs by joining our $28 for the 28th Amendment monthly sustainer campaign. Pledge $28 a month and help make the We the People Amendment our 28th Amendment to the Constitution. Visit movetoamend.org/donate to sign up.
You are listening to Move to Amend reports, where we connect the dots between the current issues of our time and the nature of corporate rule. We're talking with Ruthie Engelke of Move to Amend and Christian Sarker of the Art Project Global Corporocracy about the role of artists and cultural workers in social change and revolutions.
Now, Ruthie, you are active in Move to Amend's Arts and Culture Caucus. What's the mission of the caucus, and how does it support our 10-year plan to pass to the passage of the We the People Amendment?
The Art and Culture Caucus is a collective consciousness of artists, our goal is to use art and culture to tell a story. This is what we're doing. We're using it to educate people. One of the things that we saw in the way that the Art and Culture Caucus came about was that in our affiliates, we saw that they were using theater, they were using street theater, they were making puppets, they were making art, they were writing songs, there was music coming out of it. There was all this going on, and so we just kind of caught this wave and decided to bring together the Art and Culture Caucus. As we've done this, we've worked with different projects. We worked on our educational forums, What the Bleep Happened to Hip Hop, where we looked at how and I know you guys have done several shows with some of our hip hop artists, where we looked at the commodification of a liberatory art form. I am a theater artist. We work with pedagogy and Theater of the Oppressed, using critical thinking and social justice to use education. What we're seeing is that, like I said before, art appeals to people. We also had artists that have supported us, for instance, Neil Young, other artists. We're looking to see how art can be used creatively for organizing and to help tell this story. And we're doing it through these different projects. The first one was the What the Bleep Happened to Hip Hop. Now we're working with Christian here on Corpocracy with visual artists. I've been working with theatrical artists. We also work with Backbone Campaign that does artful actions, and they have several things going on. Then we have several other things in the works and in the making, but we are, just as we've always done at Move to Amend, building the bicycle as we go, and seeing what comes along and how we can use it to support the movement.
Excellent. Now, let me ask you something. How do you get folks involved? I mean, you have to make that leap. How do you get them involved?
Well, by appealing to them where they are, and seeing and putting out different things and seeing what appeals to people. Some people are attracted to the art show, and then they come in and the art moves them, as Christian was saying. And before, there was the art moves you, and you go, whoa, that's wrong, or gosh, we should really do something about that, or yeah, that artist just said it exactly the way it is, but don't have a mechanism for change. And that's where Move to Amend comes in, and that's why we've been doing these art shows, where in collaboration with also a talk where David has come in and facilitated and a conversation and talked to people. The same thing with art shows with Neil Young. We went to his where he was having a concert and were able to sign people up and get them interested. It's all about getting folks interested, and then using that opportunity to educate, like with the What the Bleep Happened to Hip Hop.
Right.
Some folks came to that because they were interested in hip hop, and then, oh, well, this is what happened to this liberatory art form. Oh, that's why I can't make any money in my profession. This is why I can't feed my family. This is why I'm being censored. And then that opens them up and educates them about corporate personhood and the amendment that we're trying to pass and the culture that we're trying to change. And that's, art is definitely a way to move people to start to tell a different story.
It's interesting because you take a look at a lot of other countries, right? Including countries that are more oppressed than, let's say, the United States. And art has always been used as a method of a dissension, right? In other words, they've been able to use it to promote what they really want to say and still stay within the legal framework of the oppressing country. Because guess what? It's art. We didn't mean anything by that. It's art.
If you go back to Plato's Republic, and this is now going back many, many years for me, they banned the poets, and I would say the artists, from the Republic. Why? Because the poets and the artists question the mainstream story. The mainstream story told that, you know, what's good for a big business is good for America. And that story, not, you know, that's why Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders sort of broke through this election cycle, because they went against that message. And that's sort of part of the story here is, you know, art and artists. And if you look at the sort of connections we had at our shows, it's not like a traditional art show where you go sort of sip a little bit of champagne and have some wine and cheese. And it's much more engaged. You know, the people who came to art shows stood around, didn't just look at the work stuff. They had discussions, joined in discussions with each other, with David Cobb from Move to Amend. And it was an educational process that went far beyond the traditional art show.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but let me ask it this way. Can you think of an example that art is more effective of transferring a message than, let's say, just a fact-based narrative?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's the whole point. And the advertisers know this better than anybody else. Because advertisers, if you will, are artists who have been subverted by our corrupt system that basically turns them into purveyors of goods, and it's just all about selling. Well, they're selling products instead of ideas. Artists, in some ways, are people who sell ideas. So I'll give you an example. Clark Fox had in our art show, he had a display of seven little images that basically was the history of the United States in one foul swoop. So you just take a look at these images, and you have a brief history of the United States that really is far more powerful than any history book you'll ever read. And you get it very quickly. The first image was that of a Native American, I think it was Chief Running Fox. The second was George Washington, whose Native name was Village Taker, the steel villages, and literally the land. Then you have three presidents that he had who were all assassinated because they were for keeping the country on the gold standard. And the last one, JFK, that he had was, of course, remember the guy who warned us about secret society ruling this country. And then you had Mr. Peanut, and this is the hilarious part of all of this. You have Mr. Peanut as a representative of the corporate oligarchy, who is now the permanent president of the United States. In other words, it doesn't matter. Permanent president. And it's been that way since the 70s or even the 50s.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Barge.
I was going to kind of tag on to what Kristen was saying about the ad people being artists. And that have been, you know, commodified. They've been using their artwork in order to sell. And it made me think about that huge. There's a huge mural that Ron English made that was in the Corpocracy Art Show, the original one in Houston. And Ron English uses a lot of the imagery from popular advertisements and then switches them over in his artwork. For instance, Ronald McDonald, who is supersized, he is overweight and wears a giant bling dollar necklace around his neck and a Tony the Tiger that is the same thing, who is his overweight Tony the Tiger showing the all the sugar and what this is actually doing to our children. Very, very powerful images, and we are subjected to those every day. Our children know those. They know. They can see the golden arches. I mean, I know mine used to be able to see it from miles away. And they have used that, and it's time we got them back. And I love Ron English getting them back this way.
Well, that's sort of the culture jamming thing, you know, where you basically take these icons of culture and put the meaning, and that's what Ron English has done so well. And he even has a name for it, and in fact, that's his website, Popaganda. Instead of propaganda, you have Popaganda.
So the urgency to act against corporate rule is very powerful in Move to Amend, and thanks to the Global Corpocracy Project, it's powerful there too. What tips can you offer to help folks create space for the arts and culture in their organizing work?
So I would say that they first look to their talent. If they are singers, if they are musicians, then use their music. If they are artists, use their art. There are street theater. It's actually on our Move to Amend website. In our Take Action Toolkit, we have scripts for plays. We have ways to make costumes and characters, graphics and templates to use. We have tons of information to help people out, even if you know if you're not being creative yourself. Some of our one of my favorites is Mr. Moneybags, that our Minneapolis affiliate made this costume that they use. I've seen things where I've had someone be married to a corporation, do a complete wedding ceremony. Had several folks do that. But then also look to your artists in your community and see what are they doing. Who's out there and what are they doing, and can you relate them? Invite them to your gatherings. I would like to see our folks using more art, doing more poetry readings and song circles and reaching out to the artists in their community and bringing them in and bringing them on board. And then we're always welcome to work with folks at the Art and Culture Caucus. You can look us up on the webpage under the Move to Amend Coalition. And check out our projects and hit us up. Hit Jessica Munger and I co-chair this caucus, and hit us up. Give us your ideas. We meet with our kind of little collaborative group of artists. And you have questions about how to hook in. We meet once a month on the first Tuesday of the month. It is 2:00 Pacific, 4:00 Central. So if you're interested in that, just look on the website and ask us about how to get involved, and we'd love to have you.
You mentioned different ways that people can do it, and you also mentioned that more affiliates should be doing it. And I want to kind of, you know, hone in right there based on what Christian, you know, the descriptions of some of these artworks that Christian gave us really speak to how that idea that an image can speak 1,000 words and a song can reach the heart. How do we convince organizers, not just in Move to Amend, but all over the country, wherever they are, that they need to intentionally create the space as opposed to doing an inventory of who can do what?
You're not forcing anybody to do anything. You can't do that, right? So the question really is, even in the art world, which actually is the corporate world as well, in fact, some of the biggest galleries are run by ex-Wall Street people. So art, in some ways, has also become financialized. It's a tool as an investment tool for people to money launder their stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that art has been used, as part of our capitalist system. Capitalism has reached its limits, right? So that's what is pretty obvious to just about anybody who's paying attention. And so what we have now is something that's going to be what comes after this. You know, how does this revolution look? How does it become sort of a living economy as opposed to an economy for money-eating robots that basically kills everything it touches. And that's really what capitalism has become. And so artists, in a way, play a role of waking people up. That's the whole point of the art and the artist, whether it's music, whether it's poetry, whether if it's socially conscious, it wakes people up. So you have bands like Steel Pulse, for example, that have been doing this for 40 years. They've had socially, they're not mainstream, but everybody who's interested in reggae music or real music knows who they are. It's just they're not played on the radio. And so this is part of the thing. Turn off your TV, turn off your radio, because you're just being fed propaganda, and go talk to your neighbor. Go find what's actually happening at the edges. And you might not find some of these artists in your mainstream galleries, but you will find them on the edges, in the streets, you know, on our websites, and literally all over the world. And in fact, some of the most popular street art is protest art. So Greece, for example, when they had their meltdown, the streets were covered with all kinds of brilliant protest art.
Right, so
you'll
true.
See that in every, same with Brazil right now. You'll see some amazing pieces of art coming out of there. And of course, you have Banksy, you know, who in some ways turned street art into a mainstream art thing because he was so, you know, brilliant with his messaging. So I think we have this. You just don't get, I mean, the other thing is it's very hard to do street art that is political these days because you get thrown in jail. You get, you know, in Texas, we have all kinds of laws that prohibit people from doing street art that
right.
has any, that's really, you're not allowed to, it's graffiti, right? It's banned.
Right.
But you look at the way in which artists engage their audience, and you'll find there's always a way to do it. And this is what you look for. You start looking for people who aren't singing the tune that you hear on the radio, who are not singing the message that you hear on the TV, and who aren't painting the stuff that you can hang up on at Walmart or Target. Okay.
That is so true.
Yeah, very true. So where does the Global Corpocracy Project head from Houston? Where are you going next?
We're thinking and working on going to LA next.
Oh,
wow.
Global Ambitions Group, yes. So we're looking at Boston, we're looking at LA, and we're looking at London and Madrid, Spain, because we want to show that, you know, this corpocracy problem is not a, you know, American problem per se. It's a global problem.
It's a global problem, yes.
Yeah. These transnationals are stronger than any government. They transcend political boundaries. They transcend countries. There's, you know, they're bigger. These big businesses are bigger than certain most countries in terms of their influence and literally their GDP and their revenues are higher than most countries' GDPs.
Right. Yeah, we have pretty much corporatized. I mean, the people in general have now become commodities, and the corporations are now the nation. Well, no longer nation state; they're actually the state.
And there's another movement that is happening, which is, you know, there are a lot of people within corporations, because corporations aren't really bad or good or bad. It's just how they're used that makes
exactly.
it good or bad. And so you can have a corporation, and there are some that are socially conscious, doing really good things, and actively helping the world become better. And you know, there are several companies that are doing that. Unfortunately, there are not enough of them. And so that's what, even the corporate narrative has to change. And that's what, you know, another part of my work is helping companies turn the corner to where you don't look at profit generation as the most important, you know, corporate value, but the most important corporate value is creating a better world.
I want to, I don't know if this is in your art project or not, but given that you've said that what the corporate behavior should be, what is important, you know, right now, corporations work in the best interest of their shareholders, irrespective of anything else. I hope somehow within your art, you show that there is a better way than just working on the behest of your shareholders.
Absolutely. In fact, that maximizing shareholder value is sort of the goal of the corporation, has been disproven by everybody, including the guy who invented it, which is Jack Welch.
Right.
CEO of
He called it the dumbest idea in the world. But it wasn't so dumb when he was the CEO of GE.
Because he made a lot of money off of it.
So, you know, all of this goes back to sort of rise in CEO pay. And if you trace back to the point at which we lost our democracy and Citizens United and all this stuff sort of started falling apart, you'll see that there's a correlation with the rise in CEO pay and the income inequality that accompanied it. So you basically have CEOs that earn, you know, 150 times what your regular guy earns, and the tables, and they become a super class. And that's
right.
What they've done.
It's like 400 times, yeah.
Of course. And more. When Ben and Jerry's was trying to find a CEO who would earn 20 times more than the average employee. That was sort of their benchmark. And they couldn't. They couldn't find a CEO who would take that job. So we have some problems, but these CEO pay problems are kind of global. But, you know, for example, even these can be legislated. So, for example, in Switzerland, they actually had a referendum that almost won, which would restrict the pay ratio for the CEOs and tie it to the income of the lowest paid employee in that company.
Well, Christian, both Christian and Ruth, it's been great having you here. Look, we are almost out of time. So what final comments would you like to leave with our listeners? And please let folks know how they can engage and participate with Global Corpocracy and the Art and Culture Caucus.
Sure. To engage in the Art and Culture Caucus, you can just go to movetoamend.org /arts-and-culture-caucus, or you can look at the pull-down menu for Move to Amend Coalition and choose our issue sector caucuses, and you'll find the Art and Culture Caucus and ways to connect there. You can reach me, Ruthie Engelke, at ruthie@movetoamend.org. We also have a Facebook page, the Move to Amend Art and Culture Caucus. We do a lot of posting of things we find that are going on that relate to art and Move to Amend. We also do all of our announcements of our meetings there, which again is the first Tuesday of the month at 2:00 Pacific, 4:00 Central. And you can go to the Global Corpocracy website at www.globalcorpocracy.com.
And Christian?
I'd say turn off TV, turn off your radio, and start looking at stuff that's outside the mainstream, because it's at the edges that you'll find the truth. And seek,
well, look,
and ye shall find. Use Google. Yeah. Be your friend.
Christian and Ruthie, it was our pleasure to have you on Move to Amend Reports. I'm sure you've enlightened our listeners to a different way of thinking, and I think that is very important in what we do. It's not only about the facts, it's also about how arts can change things.
I too have a revolution. I want there to be dancing.
I too want that. And thank you for sharing your time with us today. I know you're both very busy. And I want to just say that it's great to see this. It's great to see these efforts happening. It's really a crying shame that it's such a struggle to find audiences for art. I can't help but think it has something to do with stripping schools of arts programs. But nonetheless, we'll put the website for Global Corpocracy Project up on our Move to Amend Reports page so people can get that email address in case they missed it. And again, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
To learn more about corporate personhood, money as protected political speech, and how to get involved with Move to Amend, visit movetoamend.org. Don't forget to sign the petition and join over 400,000 people supporting the We the People Amendment at movetoamend.org/motion. You can also text the word sign to 707-656-4019.
Are you part of a faith or ethical community whose values and principles are being violated by corporate actions? We, the people of the Move to Amend Interfaith Caucus, share in common a variety of values and principles. In this unity, we find the short-sighted and single-minded drive for profits by certain corporations has led to the degradation of the environment and our society. Corporate power has come to dominate our existence, with the values and principles we all hold dear being routinely violated by powerful corporations using their so-called personhood to influence elections, legislation, regulations, and judicial outcomes in their favor and at our expense. It is the purpose of the Interfaith Caucus to engage faith and ethical communities and educate about how the work of ending corporate rule can be approached from a spiritual, ethical, or religious perspective. Working together at national, state, local, and faith community levels, we can pass the We the People Amendment. Join us on our monthly calls the third Wednesday of each month at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Visit movetoamend.org/interfaith-caucus for more information.
Tune in next week when we examine the historical myths and lessons learned from Shay's Rebellion as we observe the 230th anniversary with People's Historians and author Ray Rafael. Join us.
That's it for this edition of Move to Amend Reports. Thanks for listening and have a great week.